For those of you who are part of our Chandler Church family, you know that your pastor has been on a several-year journey of getting a doctorate of ministry in leadership. And as I've been working diligently at my studies while pastoring two churches full-time and raising a study, some among you who are very gracious have said, "Pastor, now that you're getting your doctorate, does that mean that you're going to leave us?" In fact, it's the opposite. You see, as part of graduating from Andrews University's Doctorate of Ministry program, one of the requirements for that graduation is creating a project in your church that enhances the spirituality and the growth of your church. As part of my studies and my diligent work, I believe God has blessed me in a very special way to be a blessing to all of us for the study that we are about to embark on, the project that we are undertaking over the course of the next 7 weeks. And as I've shared what God has revealed to me in my studies and my work, some of my professors have said what we have brought together is brand new. It is something that is unique. It is something that has never been done before, and it is unplowed ground. Some of them are very excited about what's going to happen, and I know what's happened in my life, and I am very excited for you today. Over the course of next 7 weeks, we will be studying and beginning the blind guide parabolic paradigm. We are going to be studying leadership lessons from Jesus for those who lack vision. And what we're going to find, friends, is that these leadership lessons are life-altering, life-changing lessons that will transform who you are as a Christian and as a human being. You know, as we think about leadership and what leadership means to us, in this modern age of accomplishment, there is leadership literature that abounds. Trey, could you come forward for a moment? And when it comes to leadership, there are a multitude of treatises and philosophies and theories and ideologies. More and more, you can go anywhere to any bookstore and find a book on leadership. And there are great leadership minds that I have been forced to study in my doctorate work. Minds like Tom Rath and Heifetz and Linsky and Kawasaki. There are also Christian leadership experts like John Maxwell. And all of them have a different take, a different ideology, a different concept on what it means to be a leader and what leadership, in fact, entails. And because of that, more and more, those of us who are Christians and leaders within the Christian realm have decided to start authoring leadership works as well. In the Andrews University Theological Seminary, several years ago, Dr. Skip Bell commissioned a team of seminary professors to create a book on leadership. Because although there are many books on leadership by Christian authors, there are many Christian professors and theologians who suggest that a biblical theology of leadership has never been written. You see, when we think about leadership, we think about great leaders in the Bible and great leaders in Scripture. But it's difficult to see what the Bible says about leadership because there are very few, if any, direct teachings from the apostles and the Lord Himself in regards to leadership. In fact, as I've had the opportunity to sit at the feet of some of these brilliant women and men who have been my professors in the seminary, they suggested that as they wrote this book, Servant and Friends, which I recommend to all of you getting a copy, it is really wonderful, they said it was challenging because as you look through the lives of the leaders in Scripture, you can see that there are not very many direct teachings from those leaders. In fact, one professor of mine suggested that you cannot find any teachings directly spoken on leadership in Scripture at all. As I studied and prayed and pleaded with God to give me a greater measure of understanding in regards to leadership and how His teachings can bless you all as a church, God has led me in my study to discover that there is, in fact, one. And there is, in fact, a teaching on the Lord Jesus Christ directly spoken from His mouth in regards to leadership. We find it today as we turn in our Bibles to Luke chapter 6, verse 39. We go today, beloved, to Luke chapter 6 in our Bibles and verse 39. And today in Luke chapter 6, verse 39, I'll be reading from the New King James Version. Luke chapter 6, verse 39. And here in Luke chapter 6, verse 39, we're going to find a direct teaching from the Lord Jesus Christ on His model for leadership in this world. Luke chapter 6 and verse 39. When you're all there, beloved, please say amen. We're in Luke chapter 6, verse 39. If your Bible is like my Bible, these words are in red, meaning this is the word of Jesus Christ spoken to us. Luke chapter 6, verse 39. The Bible says this, and He, Jesus, spoke a what, Chandler? A parable unto them, and Jesus said this, can the blind do what? Lead the blind, will they not both fall into a ditch? Can you say amen? Amen? Now that is short, that is acute, that is abrupt, but friends, that is in fact the words of Jesus Christ spoken to us. And if your Bible is like my Bible, there in those words of Jesus Christ spoken to us in Luke 6:39, Jesus says, can a blind man do what? Can he lead another blind man? Because if he does, they will both fall into a ditch. Now, there as Jesus speaks to us, there as Jesus preaches and teaches to us, there as Jesus presents His leadership paradigm to His church and all those who would read and hear that throughout the ages, as Jesus uses that word lead, the Greek word that is translated there is hodegeo. Everyone say hodegeo. Hodegeo in the Greek means to be a guide, to lead someone on their way, to guide someone or something, to be a guide or a teacher, or to give guidance to. Friends of mine, I wish to ask you today, does that sound like it revolves around and or relates to leadership, yes or no? Yes. Jesus here is speaking about leaders and leadership. Now, someone might say, well, Pastor Shane, how come other leaders or scholars in the church have not recognized this verse before as directly relating or pertaining to leadership? Well, friends, because the word hodegeu comes from or translated guide, some would say it says guide and not leader, or can be translated as leader. But those of you who know me and know my history and my ministry and my journeys and my travels, you know that for several weeks I had the opportunity a long time ago to preach and speak in Africa. And as I preached and as I taught and as I spoke in Africa, I would have to drive an hour up into the mountain hills of Mudende to meet with the people that I was going to minister to. And as I navigated those rocky roads and went through those trails and paths, and as we took the correct places, because off on any other side in the jungle were groups of gorillas, I was extremely happy to have a guide. Can you say amen? I didn't need a leader. I needed a guide. I needed someone who knew where they were going. Amen? Because I knew that guide was a leader for me. Amen. And Jesus, friends of mine, uses the term guide because I believe that there is only one perfect leader in existence, that is Jesus Himself. Amen? Amen? And therefore, as followers of Jesus Christ, we are leaders in the sense that we guide others to, or we guide others away from Jesus. Do you follow me? Jesus here is speaking about leadership, and Jesus couches leadership under the auspices of guidance. If that's clear, please say amen. Amen. Now, one of the reasons that other scholars have not noticed or realized or purported this as relating to leadership is because there's a parallel passage in Matthew chapter 15, verse 14. Everyone, put your thumb in Luke chapter 6, verse 39, and turn back to Matthew chapter 15 and verse 14. Matthew chapter 15 and verse 14. We're going now to Matthew chapter 15 and verse 14. And there in Matthew 15 verse 14, we find the parallel passage of Luke chapter 6 verse 39. Matthew chapter 15, verse 14, we see it there. And Jesus here in the context is speaking to the Pharisees. Verse 12, it says this, "The disciples came and said to Jesus, 'Jesus, do you know that what you said offended the Pharisees when they heard that saying?' But Jesus answered and said, 'Every plant which my heavenly Father has planted will be uprooted. Leave the Pharisees alone. Let them be. Let them do their thing. Because they are what, friends? They are blind what? Leaders of the who? Of the blind. And Jesus goes on to say, if the blind does what? Leads the blind, what will happen, everyone? Both will fall into the ditch. Now, it's important to note here, in Matthew chapter 15, verse 14, there is a leadership confrontation, a leadership interaction that is taking place between Jesus and the Pharisees. And Jesus is teaching and preaching truth. Jesus is transforming hearts and lives. And in doing so, Jesus is stepping on toes. And the disciples said, "Hey, Jesus, don't you know that what you did, what you said is not politically correct? You offended the Pharisees." And Jesus says, "That's okay. That's okay. Let them do their thing because they are blind guides. And they are leaders of those that are blind. And if a blind man leads a blind man, both will fall into the ditch." Amen. Now, many have perceived this to be a slight, a rebuke, or a reprimand. And because they think Jesus is rebuking or reprimanding, they don't necessarily see this as a teaching of Jesus Christ. But friends, it's important for us to note that here in Matthew chapter 15, while it may seem like a slight or a reprimand, in Luke chapter 6, Luke says it's something different altogether. For those of you who are Bible scholars and are familiar with the Sermon on the Mount, the Sermon on the Mount occurs in what chapter of Matthew? Matthew chapter, who knows? 5, from you Bible scholars out there. Outstanding. So in Matthew chapter 5, you have the Sermon on the Mount. Those wonderful teachings of Jesus, where Jesus says, "Blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are the meek, so they shall inherit the earth." So in Matthew chapter 5, you have the Sermon on the Mount. But here now, in Matthew chapter 15, you have this leadership confrontation between Jesus and the Pharisees. Now, I want everyone to turn back in their Bibles to Luke chapter 6 and verse 39. Luke chapter 6 and verse 39. And Luke chapter 6, verse 39, we'll see the context of where Jesus gives this message about the blind guides. Luke chapter 6 and verse 39. But before we go to verse 39, we're going to say here, we're going to start in verse 27. What verse did I say, everyone? 27. Watch what Jesus is now saying. Luke chapter 6, verse 27. Jesus says this, "But I say to you who hear, love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. And pray for those who spitefully use you. To him who strikes you on one cheek, offer the other also. And from him who takes away your cloak, do not withhold your tunic either. To everyone who asks of you, and from him who takes away your goods, do not ask them back." Now, friends, what we see here is that here in Luke chapter 6, these verses are paralleling the Sermon on the Mount. Are you following me? These are the same verses from the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 5. But this, according to some scholars, is the Sermon on the Plain. Although it is the same content, some scholars believe it's taking place in a different place. What does that mean, Pastor Shane? Here in Chandler Church, you all are very gracious to share your pastor with another church in Queen Creek. Amen? And for those of you who know, after this service, I go running into my office, I pack up all my things, and then I drive down to Queen Creek for a second service. Amen. And sometimes at that second service, sometimes I preach the same message in a different place. You follow me? Sometimes I preach a different message, sometimes it's the same message. Scholars believe that Jesus had the Sermon on the Mount, but also in Luke chapter 6, there was a Sermon on the Plain. It's a different place that Jesus is preaching, but the same message. Watch now here as we come to Luke chapter 6, verse 39. Luke 6, verse 39, as Jesus is preaching the Sermon on the Plain. Luke says, read it with me, and he spoke a what? A parable unto them. Here's the parable. Can the blind lead the blind? Will they not both fall into a ditch? I hope somebody's getting this right now. This is a parable. This is a teaching of Jesus Christ. Friends, what we see taking place here in Luke chapter 6 is that Luke, by presenting the only other instance of this passage in Scripture, aside from Matthew's account, as a parable, Luke expresses that this phrase is not a slight or a rebuke. It's not just a reprimand. It is a teaching of Jesus Christ that is meant to be conveyed and adhered to. If you're following with me, please say amen. Think with me for a moment, you Seventh-day Adventist Christians, about the great parables of Scripture, huh? There's close to 50 in the Bible that we recognize. The rich man and Lazarus, the parable of the sower, the parable of the wheat and the tares, the parable of the lost sheep, the one that's very important to us, the parable of the 10 virgins. Think about how important and profound the parabolic messages of Jesus Christ are to us in our day and age as we prepare for His second advent. In fact, one of our matriarchs, Ellen White, wrote an entire book entitled Christ Object Lessons on some of the parables in Scripture. Anyone read that book out there? It's absolutely phenomenal. And she has whole chapters, pages that she devotes to sentence lines of Jesus that are a parable, because a parable can be unpacked and unfurled and expounded upon on and on and on. And Ellen White does so in Christ's Object Lessons about the parables of Jesus. However, Sister White leaves out this one of the blind leading the blind, and I'd like to believe that she was leaving it for Pastor Shane to do for you. Amen? So here it is. Jesus, according to the words of Scripture, according to Luke in Luke chapter 6, is teaching us a parable, a teaching that we have to hold on to and adhere to in regards to leadership. And here are, friends, the three primary things that Jesus is sharing with us from this parable. Number one, Jesus asserts to us here, Chandler Church, not Pastor Shane, Jesus asserts that figurative and symbolic vision, figurative and symbolic awareness, figurative and symbolic self-reflection are essential to effective leadership. If you believe that, please say amen. We need to understand ourselves. We need to understand others around us. We need to understand where we are in history. And we need to understand the way God is moving to be effective leaders. If that's fair, please say amen today. Number two, Jesus says this, that figurative blindness disqualifies its possessor from the ability to provide the most effective forms of guidance. If you think that's fair, please say amen. That if you're figuratively or symbolically unaware of yourself and what you're like, of others around you and what they need, of where you are in history and how God is moving, you cannot provide the most effective forms of guidance. Now, you can still be a leader like the Pharisees, right? Jesus said, let them alone. They are blind leaders who are leading the blind. You can still lead, but you're going to do so to the detriment of other people and their salvation. Jesus says we need to wake up and be aware. We need to open our eyes. We need to see with spiritual vision, because if not, we can't guide people effectively. If that's fair, please say amen. Amen. Number three, Jesus asserted that those who attempt to lead others or guide others while possessing poor figurative and symbolic vision, poor figurative and symbolic awareness, for figurative and symbolic self-reflection, Jesus, not Pastor Shane, says that they will adversely affect the lives of others. Is that fair and reasonable? Think about all the cults that can pop up into your mind in a brief moment as we use an extreme example of religious leaders who have led people astray. Friends of mine, when we are not aware of ourselves, aware of others around us, our surroundings, our modern culture, and the way history is moving, when we are blind to those things and still determined to lead ahead, Jesus said, we're going to affect others' lives adversely. We're going to lead them into the pit. I don't want to be a part of that process. How about you? Now, I know someone is saying, because this was my experience when I first studied through this, well, you know what, Pastor Shane, that's okay. I'm just not going to lead then. I'm going to step out of the box and make sure that I don't adversely affect the lives of someone else. Friends of mine, there is no middle ground because every single one of us is a guide. Can you say amen? Amen. Every single one of us is a leader. Whether you're a pastor, an elder, a policeman, a teacher, a governor, a single mother, or a young adult living solo, all of us are guiding someone or something. Can you say amen to that? Amen. Even if you have no one else around you to influence, lead, guide, direct, or assist, even if you are flying solo, you are the CEO of your own company. And you can either guide yourself on a path towards righteousness and knowing, understanding God more, or you can lead yourself towards a path of destruction. Friends of mine, there is no middle ground. You can't walk the fence on this. You're either with Jesus or against Jesus. You are either blind or receiving spiritual sight. I want to see today, how about all of you? Every one of you are leaders. Every one of you are going to be affected by the words of Jesus Christ and the journey we are going to take over the next 7 weeks as we see how Jesus expounded on this parable and on this teaching. And as we expound upon it today, what we're going to find over the course of the next 7 weeks is this. Not only was there a direct teaching of Jesus Christ in the area of leadership, but we're going to find and discover, as I have over the course of the last 3 years of study, that there are also trace elements of that teaching and corresponding object lessons that can be found and or distilled from other biblical narratives, scriptural interactions, and later leadership echoes that are written in the letters of Jesus Christ's apostles. What you're going to find, like I have found as I studied and discovered, this is a parable and a teaching. All of the apostles knew it, all of the apostles understood it, and all of the apostles taught it in their letters. You're going to see it. You've seen the passages before, but you've glanced over them, not connecting them to this. But as you now begin to understand the blind guide leadership paradigm, you're going to see that it's all over in Scripture. Today, as we start the first lesson of leadership here in our inaugural journey through the blind guide leadership paradigm, we're going to see the first instance of Jesus expounding on this parable or this teaching in John chapter 9. Go with me now, beloved, in your Bibles to John, the Gospel of John chapter 9. And in John chapter 9, we're going to discover the narrative of a man who was born blind. A story that many of you have read, seen, heard, and are familiar with, but now you're going to see it in a new light than you've ever seen it before. We're going to John, what chapter did I say? John chapter 9. And in John chapter 9, we're going to discover the narrative of Jesus' healing of a man that was born blind. Now, it's important to note as we dig into John chapter 9, that at the end of the Gospel of John, John says this to us in regards to Jesus' life here on earth and his ministry. John says at the end of John and his Gospel that Jesus did so many miracles that all the books in the world could not contain them. Are you familiar with that passage? John said that Jesus did so many miracles that all the books in the world could not contain them. Meaning, John, who was the author of that gospel, expressed to us that yes, we recorded a lot of the amazing things that Jesus Christ did to us and for others. But Jesus did so many, we could not record them all. So many that all the books in the world could not record them. So what John is telling us, what John expresses at the very end of his gospel, is that Jesus did so many things. The only things that we recorded were things that were extremely significant and had a message and a meaning that Jesus wanted to convey. Are you following me? Meaning that when John records Jesus healed a blind man, that was not the only blind man that Jesus healed. Jesus healed tons of blind men. But when John recorded this particular story of a blind man being healed, it was because in that healing, Jesus had an object lesson or a message for us as apostles. Are you following with me? Here's what we'll find now as we dig into John chapter 9. For those of you who are Bible scholars in John chapter 9, you know that John chapter 9 describes Jesus encountering a man who was born blind from birth. And as Jesus encounters that man who was born blind from birth, the apostle said, Jesus, why was he born blind? Because he sinned or because his parents sinned? Jesus said, neither, but that the works of God were going to be revealed in him. Meaning that this malady was allowed for a higher purpose and a higher plan. That God had a plan for this blind man's life, and it wasn't about his sin that he had this blindness. But God had a call on this man's life, and this man's life, his malady, his blindness, and Jesus' subsequent healing of him was going to tell a story to the world. Here's the story that the world and the Chandler Church is going to hear today. So Jesus, he spits on some mud, he puts it in the eyes of the blind man, he tells the blind man to go and wash in the pool of Siloam. The blind man can then see, and he comes back and he acknowledges what Jesus has done. That's another sermon for another day. However, for right now, I want us to drop down to verse 24. We're in John 9, verse 24. What verse did I say? Verse 24, and what we see is that as Jesus heals the man that was born blind, the Pharisees and the religious leaders of his day wanted to interrogate and question the blind man in regards to how, why, and what exactly happened with his healing. We're in verse 24. If you're all there with me, please say amen. So again, the Pharisees called the man who was blind. And they said to the man who was blind, give God the glory, because we know that this man, Jesus, is a sinner. Lord, have mercy. So the blind man answered and said, whether Jesus is a sinner or not, I do not know. One thing I am sure of, I was blind and now I see. Hallelujah. They go on to say, the Pharisees, the religious leaders of that day, go on to say, how again? What did he do to you? How did he open your eyes? Verse 27, the blind man answers and said, I told you guys already, I don't know. Do you want to hear it again? Or is it that you just want to become his disciples? He's preaching the word, huh? So now, verse 28 says they're reviled, they're revved up, the Pharisees are angry. And they say, you are his disciple, but we are the disciples of Moses. Verse 29, for we what? We? They know. The Pharisees know. They know what's going on. They're sure of it. They know what's happening. They know what's transpiring. They are aware and they see. You are his disciple, but we are Moses' disciples, for we know that God spoke to Moses, but as for this fellow Jesus, we don't know what he's about. Verse 30, the man answered and said to them, why, this is a marvelous thing that you do not know where he is from, but he has opened my eyes. Verse 31, the Pharisee says, we know that God does not hear sinners. They know. They've got their degree, their master's, their doctorate, they're sure, right? We understand theology, and we know that God does not hear sinners, but if anyone is a worshiper of God and does his will, he hears him. Since the world began, it has been unheard of that anyone opened the eyes of one who was born blind. If this man were not from God, he could do nothing, says the blind man. They answered the Pharisees to the blind man and said, you were completely born in sin, and you are doing what? What is he doing? He's starting to lead them. They're right. And the Bible says that they did what to the blind man? They cast him out. Now follow with me. Verse 35 is where we see Jesus, our superhero, arrive on the scene. The Bible tells us that when Jesus heard the Pharisees, the leaders of that day, cast the blind man out, and when he had found him, he said, do you believe in the Son of God? The blind man answered and said, who is he, Lord, that I may believe him? And Jesus said to him, you have both seen God, and it is God who is talking with you. Then the man who was born blind, the man who had no sight nor vision, he said, Lord, I what? I believe. And he worshiped Jesus. Hallelujah. Jesus then says this word in verse 39. And this is our scripture reading that Adam read so well today. Dig in, put on your seatbelts, and focus now with me, Chandler Church. Jesus says, for judgment, or that is discernment, or that is understanding. For judgment, discerning, and understanding, I have come into this world, that those who do not see may do what?
See.
May have see and have vision. And those who see may be what?
Blind.
Jesus now is expanding, he's expounding upon the blind guide parable. Watch the response of the Pharisees in verse 40. Then some of the Pharisees who were with him heard these words and said to Jesus, are we what? Are we blind also? What are you saying, Jesus? Are you calling us blind? Are you saying we don't possess understanding, wisdom, and awareness? Are you saying that we don't know what's going on? Are you saying that we don't see the signs of the times? Are you saying that we didn't have all of the Old Testament scriptures that point to your first advent, that you would come, and as Isaiah says, you would set the captives free and give sight to the blind, and we still don't recognize you? And Jesus is saying, yes. Yes. You are blind guides who are leading the blind. Jesus here is rebuking them through his words and his sentiments. Jesus says, for judgment, for discernment, for understanding, I have come into this world, that I can reframe and give understanding to those who are not self-aware. So that those who are figuratively and symbolically blind will see, and those who think they know it all, what will happen to them? They will become blind. Better watch yourself, folks. I better watch myself, folks. The Pharisees then said, are we blind? Are we the ones that you taught about in that parable in Luke chapter 6? Is that who you're talking about, Jesus? And watch what Jesus says to them. John chapter 9, verse 41, Jesus said to them, if you were literally and physically blind, born that way, you would have no sin. But since you Pharisees, since you religious leaders say to me, we what? We? Your sin what? Are you following? This is profound, folks. This is deep stuff here. This is the words of Jesus Christ, not your pastor. And Jesus here is rebuking the Pharisees. But John records this rebuke. John records this leadership interaction. John records this miraculous healing because of its content and the circumstances and situation. In verse 12, 25 and 36 of John chapter 9. In humility, the man who was born blind three times said, I don't know what Jesus did. I don't know who Jesus is. He's too much for me to fathom. He is above me. I don't get it. However, the Pharisees in verse 24 and 29 of John chapter 9 boast with confidence that they know who Jesus is, they know what he's about, They know what he's up to, and they know that he's not the Son of God. John records it because John is contrasting the man who was born blind with the spiritual and figurative awareness of the leaders of Jesus' day. Are you following me? And here's what we see. That as the blind man sees, he grows in faith. But the Pharisees, on the other hand, express their total rejection of Jesus Christ. And at the end of the chapter, the light of the world tells them that they are blind. I don't ever want to be like that. I don't ever want to be a Christian like that. And friends of mine, if you pause for a moment and you reflect, you can think of Christians around us that are like that. They see it all. They know it all. You can't tell them anything. You can't talk to them because they comprise the sum total of wisdom and knowledge, right? Can't reach them. Can't reason with them. Can't talk to them because they see it all. And Jesus says, because you say you see, your sin remains. Friends of mine, our matriarch, Ellen White, understood the dynamic that was taking place in this leadership interaction. And in The Desire of Ages, page 475, this is what she wrote in regards to this confrontation between Christ and the Pharisees after he healed the man that was born blind. She says this, to all who realized their need, Jesus Christ came with infinite help. But the Pharisees would confess what? What would they confess? I don't need Jesus. I know it all. I've got it all figured out. I've been in the church my whole life. I'm a fifth generation Seventh-day Adventist, as God blesses by generations, right? They refused to come to Christ, and Ellen White says, and hence they were left in what? She gets it. She gets it. And friends, what I would like for all of us to get to understand today, that this is part of Jesus Christ's blind guide parabolic paradigm. Jesus is teaching leadership. Jesus is teaching proper guidance. And as Jesus taught not only his apostles and tried to teach the Pharisees and religious leaders of his day, he speaks now to you and I as his word echoes down the ages of history. And today, the story of the man who was born blind in John chapter 9 purports the principle of what, everyone? Humility as effective and necessary for leadership. Can you say amen today? Good leaders, great leaders are humble. Can you say amen? And therefore, as we begin this journey of the blind guide paradigm, we understand that Jesus Christ taught and preached about humility. In Matthew 23, verse 11, Jesus said that the greatest among us of leaders would be the greatest what? Servant. Because whoever decides to exalt herself or himself will be what? Humbled. And whoever humbles themselves will be what? Exalted. Jesus described his ministry here on earth and how he humbled himself. Jesus said in Mark chapter 10, verse 45, that the Son of Man did not come to have us serve him, but he came to do what? To serve and give his life as a ransom for all of us. That's pretty humble, wouldn't you agree? In fact, as Paul mused upon the humility of Jesus and the life that Jesus lived, the ministry that he had, in Philippians 2, verse 5 and 8, Paul says to all of us who would profess to be followers of Jesus, he said, you must have the same attitude that Jesus had. Though Jesus was God, he did not think of equality with God as something to cling to. Instead, he gave up his divine privileges. He took what type of position, everyone? The humble position of a slave, was born as a human being. When he appeared in human form, he did what? He humbled himself in obedience to God and died a criminal's death on the cross. You know, one author wrote it this way, and I appreciate him expressing the importance of humility. Here's his quote. He says, Jesus was born humbly in a manger. The whole story of his birth is a story of humility. We see Jesus' humility throughout his life and his ministry. Jesus lives his life loving. He lives his life serving others. But most impressively, we see his humility in his what? It's a death, the author says, in its most humiliating form. Death on a cross. Do you think, friends, that humility is an important aspect of leadership? Peter thought so. Peter had to learn how to be humble. And Peter says this in 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 5. Clothe yourselves, all of you, with what? Could you imagine today? Some of us have had that nightmare growing up, that we show up in a social setting without our clothes. Huh? You ever had that nightmare where you're naked and you don't have any clothes on? Could you imagine if you showed up to church today without your clothes? We'd all be running to clothe you and help you and cover you. Lalitha would be going to community service, pulling out diapers and stuff. You know what I'm talking about? Peter says, clothe yourselves with what? Humility. And if we're not clothed with humility, in the eyes of God, we're naked. Because God does what to the proud? What did Jesus do to the proud? He opposes the proud, but Jesus gives grace to the who, everyone? To the humble. In fact, in Proverbs chapter 16, verse 8, the wisest man who ever lived, King Solomon, next to Jesus, said that pride goes before what? And a haughty spirit before a fall. I've always wondered of Solomon, where exactly are they going to fall? But now I know. It's the pit that Jesus described in Luke chapter 6, verse 39. It's the pit that blind guides lead other blind people into. And you might think, well, I'm just wrestling with pride, and this pride thing is about me. But friends of mine, Jesus says that if we are blind, if we are blind guides who say we see and we know it all, Jesus says that our sin remains. And blind guides will lead others into the pit. Are you following me? You see, there's some of us here today who need to humble ourselves before our wives. Huh? Some of us here who need to humble ourselves before our husbands. Some of us here who need to humble ourselves before our parents, before friends that we've wronged, before employers, before scholars, before doctors, before people who we think we know more than, but God may be revealing to us that we don't see the whole picture. Is that possible today? Is that possible that we don't see it all? And when we think we do, and know and say we see and understand, Jesus says we can adversely affect the lives of others. So today, friends, as we draw to a close, in the blind guide parabolic paradigm, the first lesson of leadership is what, everyone? It is?
Humility.
Humility. It is humility. And the principle that we draw from that process is what I'm going to share with you in a moment. But before we do that, I want to be clear about something. Because if we walk away today thinking Pastor Shane preached about humility, we're going to get the wrong message, and you'll miss the whole point. The Bible talks about humility, but Jesus taught leadership in the context of blind guides. Are you following me? Jesus nor Pastor Shane today preached about humility. What we preached, what we taught, what we expressed is that when we are unaware of the pride that we all possess, we become blind and we can adversely affect the lives of others. Amen? I'm proud, I can admit it. And I know you're proud, you can admit it. But even proud people think they're humble, don't they? You ever heard the term false humility? That's when a proud person talks about how humble they are, right? I have that problem, you have that problem. We have blind spots in our spiritual lives like we do in our physical. Are you following me? And Jesus expresses that when we don't recognize that we are proud, when we say we see, our sin remains. Are you following me? So we can talk about humility all we want, but if we do not humble ourselves, we will adversely affect the lives of other people. Which leads us to our principle from humility that we glean, and the most important message today when it comes to leadership. One cannot lead if they cannot be led. Do you follow me? One cannot lead if they cannot be led. You know, as a Chandler Seventh-day Adventist church, we have begun the process of the nominating committee, selecting and calling upon leaders to guide us in these next few years here as a church. And friends of mine, as we prayerfully consider those positions, I prayerfully plead with you today to humble yourself before God prior to our call of you. Amen? If you're proud, if you have pride, if you cling to it, we can't use you. We can't use me because God can't use us. Can you say amen? One cannot lead if they cannot be led. Do you follow me? Think for a moment, friends, of all the great leaders in Scripture who had to be led. Think about Joseph, who became second in command in Egypt, who had to be led away through the providence of God into slavery, where he was humbled in a jail and in that position before he could rise to a position of prominence. You follow? Think about that great leader of Israel, Moses. And before Moses could become a leader of his people, he had to be led of God out in the wilderness to tend sheep for how long? 40 years. He had to be humbled by God until God could use him in the way that he needed to be used. And we know that at the end of Moses' life, he backslid. He struck the rock twice and could not go into the promised land because his heart overflowed with pride. Huh? It's a continual and perpetual track that we're on. And then recall Peter, proud Peter, who always had to stick his foot in his mouth. He was so sure of himself and what he knew. But when it came to his understanding of Jesus Christ dying on the cross as a suffering servant as opposed to a conquering king, he denied Jesus Christ 3 times. Think about how many people heard that witness of Peter denying and cursing Jesus. Do you think that Peter adversely affected someone's life and spirituality that day? You better believe he did. You better believe he did. And that's why Jesus had to lead him on a path of repentance. Lead him to a point where Jesus, there by the side of the sea, asked Peter 3 times, "Do you love me? Do you love me? Do you love me?" And 3 times Peter had to humble himself before Jesus and repeat and oppose the curses that he originally cursed Jesus 3 times with. And then you recall in John chapter 21 and verse 18, Jesus said to Peter, "Peter, I tell you this of the truth. When you were young, you tied your clothes around you and you went wherever you wanted. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands and others will tie you up and take you where you do not want to go." What was Jesus talking about? Peter's death. Peter had now come to a place of humility, and it had to happen through humiliation. But now Peter was fully committed, fully consecrated, fully humble before the Lord, and Jesus indicated what kind of death Peter was going to do to glorify God. And then Jesus told Peter, do what? Follow me. You cannot lead unless you can be led. Are you following me? Friends of mine, Jesus said to the Pharisees, and Jesus said to us today, if we were born blind, physically, we would have no sin. But for those of us, including Pastor Shane, who says, we see, our sin remains. Today, friends, the first lesson of leadership is humility. Can you say amen? Amen. And the first lesson, the first principle is that we cannot lead unless we can be led. Today, our deacons who are standing by are going to hand out to all of us today a visionary self-reflection card. And this visionary self-reflection card is for everyone here in our congregation. Over the course of the next 7 weeks, each and every one of us here in this Chandler Church are going to get one of these cards. And as you get this card, throughout the course of your week, your personal devotion, and your prayers, you're going to reflect upon this message of Jesus Christ that that was preached here today and is preached for all people all time. Throughout the course of your week, you're going to reflect upon this passage in John chapter 9, verse 39 through 41, where Jesus said, "If you were born blind, you would have no sin, but since you say, 'I see,' your sin remains." Throughout the course of this week, you're going to reflect upon the first lesson of leadership. And for those of you who have your yellow card, you can write it in there right next to the colon. The first lesson of leadership is what, everyone? It is humility. Amen. You've got it. And then the principle we draw from these interactions today, the principle that the Pharisees failed in, one cannot lead if they cannot be led. And throughout the course of this week, I ask you, during your prayers, during your personal devotions, to ask Jesus Christ, "Lord, please open my eyes this week to see where I have not been humble." Can you say amen to that? Do you think that's something we all need? I know I need it. I don't know about you. Secondly, in your prayers and personal devotions throughout the course of this week, you're going to ask the Lord Jesus Christ from heaven, "Lord, please open my eyes this week to the importance of humility." Friends, according to what we saw today in Jesus' interaction with the Pharisees, do you find humility important? Yes or no? Amen. This week, if you wish to say that you are blind and Jesus, I need to give you to give me vision, please say, "Lord, open my eyes this week to the importance of humility." And lastly, point number three, throughout the course of this week, I want you to ask the Lord Jesus Christ from heaven, "Lord Jesus Christ, please open my eyes to where you are leading me." Does anyone here want to be led of Jesus by the Good Shepherd? Can you say amen? There's only one good and perfect leader, that's Jesus. We are guides. And we can be a witness to Jesus, for Jesus, or we can witness to something else. But if Jesus is our leader, and we are followers, and we are guides to others, let's say, "Lord, please open my eyes to where you are leading me." Here's what I ask of you as a church. Next Sabbath, when we come back together during praise and prayer time, please give me the testimony of what Jesus has revealed to you. How Jesus has worked in your heart, your life, and your spirituality. And friends, what we need today is for Jesus to give us sight beyond the sight we have in this world. Can you say amen? Amen. Vision, awareness, and understanding aside from that which we already possess.